Now to an international dispute that involves shadowy guerrilla fighters, gruesome murders, and a group of scholars on the leafy suburban campus of Boston College. At issue are dozens of secret interviews the school conducted with former paramilitary fighters on both sides of the conflict in Northern Ireland. As NPR's Tovia Smith reports, the British government is demanding access to those files, and Boston College is fighting back in U.S. federal court.
For nearly a decade, Boston College has gone to extremes to keep their interviews secret. The former paramilitaries were identified by just a single initial, and the master code of who was locked away and seen by only two people. Total secrecy was the only way to convince these former Irish Republican and British loyalist fighters to talk. And talk they did. Those who'd never even admitted being paramilitaries totally opened up about everything from how they grew up to what they blew up.
We were robbing banks, robbing post offices, planting bombs, shooting Brits, trying to stay from getting arrested.
Like the others, Brendan Hughes, a former leader of the Provisional Irish Republican Army, was promised his interviews would be kept confidential until he died. And when he did, 3 years ago, his tapes were used in a book and film called Voices from the Grave.
I think a lot of the stuff that I'm saying here, I'm saying it in trust because I have a trust in you.
But today, Boston College may be forced to break that trust. Police in Northern Ireland are demanding the taped interviews as part of their investigation into unsolved murders and disappearances during the so-called Troubles. Officials say they have a responsibility to, quote, pursue any and all lines of inquiry for the victims, for the next of kin, and for justice. And they want not only the already public interview with Hughes, but also tapes of another IRA member, Dolores Price, who's still alive.
You know, what in the world are these people thinking of? It just boggles the mind.
Tom Hashey directs Boston College's Center for Irish Programs. He says drudging all of this up now not only threatens the lives of the interviewees who broke their code of silence, but also threatens the ongoing peace and reconciliation process in Northern Ireland.
In the post-Good Friday Agreement era, when this general amnesty has been accorded to dozens and dozens of people who were guilty of the most heinous crimes, now to be asking for these papers, it's counterproductive. It will be accomplishing very little and setting back a great deal.
BC is asking the federal court in Boston to consider the, quote, important competing interests in this case, but the university may have little ground to stand on, since even doctors, lawyers, priests, spouses, and journalists can be compelled to break confidences in certain cases, and the law is even less clear on any privilege oral historians may have.
BC's dilemma is that they made promises that they couldn't keep and that they have no right to keep. And that's the problem that they're in right now.
Juliette Kayyem is a former U.S. Department of Homeland Security official and a Boston Globe columnist. She says the British government has every right to information they need to investigate unsolved crimes.
We shouldn't be too romantic about this. Some of the unsolved murders include the 1972 death of a widowed mother of 10. I mean, these are horrible cases. And now BC can't wrap itself around academic freedom and say, well, we don't want people to investigate these cases.
As the BC case works its way through court, it's already sending chills through the world of oral historians.
This is a real wake-up call.
Doug Boyd, head of the Center for Oral History at the University of Kentucky, says academics need to make sure they're not promising more confidentiality than they can deliver, and they need to make subjects understand the risk they're taking, especially in sensitive cases, like when he interviewed former KKK members.
It's very different when you're talking about rural farmers in Kentucky. You know, they might say something bad about their brother that they don't want on the record. But when you're talking about stories that are going to contain criminal confessions, I think we need to take a very realistic look at what we can and cannot do.
The worry, of course, is the chilling effect that may have on future projects. It's a fine line, Boyd says, between telling it like it is and not scaring off interviews. Tovia Smith, NPR News, Boston.